I've considered about preaching this message this morning for a long, long time. I'll tell you right up front, it's a big one. It's a big old message. It takes in a lot of time. But I think the Lord's helped me to make it to where it won't wear you out with it, but it'll be a blessing to us, I trust. It's about a character, a man in the Bible. And we'll begin by taking a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And see about this man. And we all know about him. And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And then the next verse says, by faith Moses. So that's interesting in how it is in this honor roll of faith, as we call it, as we refer to it, of all the patriarchs of the tribes, Brother Joseph is the one that's mentioned between Jacob and Moses. That man that was whose name was changed to Israel, who was given the promises of his grandfather Abraham, given the promises of God to his father Isaac, and the Lord visited him and gave him, said of him in particular, he would make a great nation. Jacob had 12 sons and a daughter. And all the way going forward to that time that they were in Egypt, to this man Moses, the Lord raised him up. The one that is mentioned is Brother Joseph. And so this morning, we pray the Lord will help us and bless us in it. And we'll take a look at this subject, Joseph, a faithful man in type of Jesus. Joseph, a faithful man and type of Jesus. Well, where do we need to go? You know we're heading to Genesis, right? Genesis 37. And we pick it up here. And we're just going to take and we're going to follow the narrative, hit the high points of what we're told about this man, and take a look at those parallels, those similarities. No man that is a type can totally be like the Lord Jesus Christ, but things are seen in their lives that point us to our Lord Jesus. It says in Genesis 37, verse number 2, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, remember that, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah. Remember, there are two wives, Leah and Rachel, and then there are two handmaidens. Leah had 6 sons. Rachel had 2 sons. And then the other handmaidens had 2 apiece, for a total of 12, plus Dinah, the daughter that Leah bore unto Jacob. So Joseph is out here feeding the flock with his brothers and his half-brothers, and out there with the sons of one of the handmaidens, Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. You know, Joseph, he just looked to do right. Joseph was faithful to his father. Joseph would be called a goody two-shoes. But you know what? How is it that anybody that would want to follow the Lord would say, it's right and good for us to dabble in evil so we won't be called a goody two-shoes? Our Lord looks us for us to be right and true and honest in everything. It is right to be good. It is right to be obedient. It's what God looks at as obedient. The estimation of the world and just being too righteous doesn't hold up with God. Joseph was just doing what he was supposed to do. And in that It says here, his father's wives and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. They weren't doing well. They weren't doing right. And as a family and as sons, doing the work that the father had given unto them, Joseph wanted to do it well. And it was, and it's not saying here, it doesn't say at all, not one negative thing about Joseph. He didn't look to be one that would stir up trouble. He just wanted to do right. You know, our Lord is right in everything. If you want to take a good look at a goody two shoes, take a look at Jesus Christ, who said when evil was evil and when good was good, who always looked to do the will of the Father and never looked to do the will of man and the way of the world and sin. If we are obedient, let the world call us a goody two shoes. Do you, as a child of God, want to take and borrow from the evil, get soiled up a little bit from the world so you won't have such a reputation? May the Lord help us in that. It says in verse number 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream. He didn't ask for the dream, and he told it to his brethren. He's just telling it in honesty, and because of that, they hated him yet the more. And so, you know what happened? They conspired against Joseph. They so hated his righteousness and his well-doing. Again, Joseph is not an antagonizer. He's just looking to do well and right. He didn't ask for the dreams. The Lord gave him the dreams, and he just told the dreams. Even in one aspect, his father was somewhat offended at that, but laid it up and didn't forget it. And so we come to chapter 37 down to verse 28. Then there passed by the Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, because they took him, and his brothers even wanted to kill him. Do you take up a position despising someone for their doing well and doing right? Oh, may God help us as the children of God not to take up a position of despising our brethren for them looking and trying and striving to do well. We live before the Lord. Anyway, they were going to kill him, but others, some of his brethren, Reuben, namely, said, no, don't kill him. And they got to thinking about those that passed by. They put him in a pit for the meantime to decide what to do, and they decided to sell him. And so the Midianite merchantmen came. They drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Of course, Joseph is there, and he's in the pit. He's the one that's the focus of their wrath and their hatred. Benjamin is not there, his brother. And so how did it work out? Two pieces of silver. Reuben wasn't around. He came around later on and found out that they'd taken Joseph out of the pit, and he feared that they had killed Joseph. But they looked out for Reuben too. And I just want to give you the thought, two pieces of silver carrying around in your money bag that represented the life of your brother. Remember that. Indeed. Chapter 38 tells us something about Judah, and so that's not part of the account of Joseph. We come to chapter 39 of Genesis in verse 5. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Joseph was sold to this man Potiphar in Egypt. And the Lord blessed Joseph. And you know what? What I want us to see and consider and remember about this is Joseph didn't go. He is sorrowful for being taken captive and being done dirty. But he does not allow it to affect the way he lives. When he's there and sold off to Potiphar, when he gets to Potiphar's house, he does what he's told to do, and he looks to do well with it, and he's advanced to where he's over all of this man's house. In bitterness, a man could be well tempted. We would be well tempted just to shut down, to not do, to resist. And all of this that Brother Joseph endured and that came his way by the design of God, by the design of men and by the working of God in it, it's all wrapped up in there together. Joseph never seemed to try to take off and run away back home. But he was unhappy being there. But you know what? He did well. He did all things heartily as unto the Lord. I mean, and you think about it. I fuss and whine and cry about my situation at times. But I've never been sold off by my own kin and never been taken off into a far land and never been made to serve with another man's stuff and watch over his house and be separated from my family. We'll see for how long. I've never been required to do anything like that. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us with our whining and complaining and fussing. Forgive me, Lord, where I do that myself. And so he made him over all that he had, Potiphar did. And then his wife, Potiphar's wife, got eyes on Joseph, and she wanted him and wanted to take him, but he resisted and resisted. Verse number 9 of chapter 39, he said unto her, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You know, that needs to be in our minds and hearts and lips, right? He's at a position he could take advantage. He's at a position he could manipulate. But you know what? He never forgets that God's watching and that he wants to honor God. And in this, he's honoring his father, too, that taught him these things, no doubt. You know, Joseph just didn't get this by osmosis, but he was taught this by his father. And his grandfather, Abraham, was noted by God that God knew that he would teach his children coming after him what's right and what's true. And Joseph, he abided by that. Can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? No. Verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. You know, he could have just went along and kept the easy life that he had under the circumstances. I'm sure he could eat anything he wanted. I'm sure he wasn't dressed in rags. And I'm sure he didn't sleep out in the stalls with the animals. I mean, he had no doubt had a nice place and nice provision and everything. He could have just went along and enjoyed the fruits of sin for a season and just kept everything the status quo. But you know what? He resisted evil, and it cost him going back to prison. Going back to prison. He'd already had a taste of being captive that way. So the master took him, put him in prison, where the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. And he went into a great fit of depression. Well, he's sad for being gone from his family. He is. Don't want to discount that at all. But you know what? You know what he did in the prison? He got to work. He got to work. He didn't have talents and just say, "No, I refuse to use." No, he went to work with what he was given to do. And the next thing you know, the Lord makes him over all the prison to where the jailer doesn't even know what's going on unless he asks Joseph what's going on. Verse number 23, and the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with Joseph, and that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper. See, faithfulness, I mentioned it this morning in devotion, faithfulness to the Lord brings the reward of obedience. Now, the thing is it may not be manifested the way you and I would like in total deliverance from a thing, but he was faithful in what he was given to do, is do things, all things heartily as unto the Lord, and the Lord blessed him in that case and in that state. You know, Jesus was faithful in everything he was given to do. Step down from your throne and become like your creation. That's what the Father told the Son to do. Step down from your throne And not only become like your creation, become like one of your creation, but go into that world with nothing, to a family with very little, to a place obscure, ultimately known for the terribleness and the murderous and robbing ways of Nazareth. That's what the Lord, that's what the Father told the Son to do. You know what Jesus said? Yep, I'll do it. I'll do it. And the Lord did everything. So go bear our people's sins. Okay, I'll do it. Go bear their infirmity. Okay, I'll do it. He did things well, Brother Joseph did. So did our Lord. In Genesis chapter 40, there's some inmates now there in the jail, the butler and the baker of Pharaoh, and they've dreamed a dream. Verse number 8, and they said unto him, "We've dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." Joseph said unto them, "I don't care. Do not interpretations belong to God?" See, he's still in fellowship with the Lord, isn't he? And he tells those fellows, he said, the Lord knows the answer. The Lord knows the answer. He said, "Tell me them, I pray you." And they did. And the butler is restored. The baker is hanged, just like the Lord gave Joseph the interpretation. And the Lord Joseph tells the butler, "Remember me." And what do we see at the end of that chapter? "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." We come to chapter 41. "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years." We have trouble enduring things for 2 full minutes, 2 full hours, 2 full days, 2 full weeks. He's there in that prison for 2 full years. How long was he with Potiphar? We don't know. We really don't know. We might kind of have a hint of that here in time. But 2 full years he's in that prison. Best hope that he had. "Don't forget me here. Bring me. I'm not here. I'm not here because of my own doing and my own wickedness. I'm here unjustly." But the butler forgot him. "It came to pass at the end of 2 full years in prison that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river." And so he has this dream. The butler remembers about Joseph. Joseph is brought in. Verse number 16, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me.'" Because Pharaoh says, you are able to divine. You're able to tell dreams. It's what the butler told me. So come on in here and tell it. He said, "Well, it's not in me." See, He hasn't forgot about God, has he? Do we see a man here that's blaming God? He's not blaming God either, is he? But his fellowship with the Lord continues on. And he says here, it's not within me. He doesn't say to Pharaoh, say, "Well, I don't know how you're going to find out about your dream. I just refuse to do it, even though I can." No. He gives a great testimony. "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." He said, "The answer is within." And so the Lord gives Brother Joseph the answer to Pharaoh's dreams. And Joseph has what the answer to the dreams is, and he has a recommendation. And he says, "You need to search out a man to put over this business to get this job done, because it's going to get tough. 7 years of plenty are coming. Set somebody over that to do it." He does not even self-promote. He said, "If you let me out of jail, I'll take care of it." Doesn't say that, does he? No. He doesn't even self-promote. Verse 39, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou.' And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, 'See, I've set thee over the land of Egypt.' And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, 'Bow the knee,' and made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name. Here's one, if you're going to have a child, a son, Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went over all the land of Egypt, and Joseph was 30 years old. How old was Joseph when we started? 17. Now we know a count. When he was lifted up by the Lord to power in Egypt, he had been there in that land 13 years. Never tried to run, never tried to escape. He was 2 years in the prison, right, that we know of in that count. We don't know how much before that. We don't know how long he was with Potiphar. But at that point, he'd been there 13 years. You think about 13 years of your life. 13 years of your life. I was thinking about this as preparing the message and thinking about it. I remember when I was in my 20s, you know, I thought life stopped at around 40, 42. I thought, you know, people just fall. I mean, I know people 40 years old aren't dying. But, you know, in my 20s, man, 13 years seemed like an eternity. Here is 30 years old, separated from his family all that time. From the standpoint of being forced into a thing that he would never choose. But now he's beginning to see the why of it. And no doubt he is praising the Lord for it. Jesus did everything that the Father told him to do. Jesus came in humility and meekness. He was despised and rejected. He was put off by men. But you know what? He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords because of his obedience. The Lord has taken the man Jesus because he's been faithful in little. He's making him ruler over much. Amen. That's what happened with our brother. And so here, he was faithful over little and made ruler of much. He was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh the king, verse 46. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt doing this business. And you know what? He was faithful in it. Faithful in it. He went through 7 years of plenty and 2 years of famine to come down to what we see next. Because in chapter 42, things are very difficult up in Canaan also. The famine is at hand. It's worldwide from the standpoint of the known world in that day. And so Jacob tells his sons to go down and get some food, and he's there. And we come to chapter 42. And so at chapter 42, we have the 7 years of plenty that have taken place. And then we have the 2 years that he's going to tell us about that they are into the famine. And those 2 years of prison before. And so now Joseph has been here separated from his family. Now beginning to push, 20 years. His brothers come in, and he's the contact point to be able to get any food in the second 7 years of famine. They're 2 years into it. And in chapter 42, when Joseph sees his brothers, and they come in, and they make obeisance to him, and they're looking for food for themselves and for those back home. In Genesis 42, verse number 24, and he turned himself about from them and wept. Is that a man that's holding a grudge? He's not holding a grudge, is he? He's not holding a grudge. His brothers have come asking for food, and he's got a yearning and a compassion for them. He goes a ways and weeps, and he returns to them again, verse 24 of chapter 42, and communed with them. He talked with them through an interpreter. And in that, he took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. He took and he put them to the test. He took and he never harmed them physically. But he made accusation, you're spies. And they're not spies. They accused Joseph of being something that he wasn't, a troublemaker in the family. And he wasn't a troublemaker in the family. But he took Simeon from them and said, well, he said, you're going to have to go back home. You're going to have to go back and get your little brother that you told me about if you want to come back and buy food again. And he knows they're coming back because there's no food in the land. And he took Simeon and he bound him up in front of them to give them a taste of what they had done with him. Now, I wonder about Simeon. Once they loaded up and go on, wonder what happened with Simeon. Simeon didn't go to the dungeon. Simeon wasn't treated ill in any way. Simeon, no doubt, was well taken care of by Joseph. But he sent them away, and he is greatly, greatly stirred by seeing his brethren again. So they go back, the brothers do, to Jacob, and this is what they tell in chapter 42, verse 33 and 34. And the man, the lord of the country, speaking of Joseph, and this is his brother speaking to their father, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men, because that's what he accused them of. Leave one of your brethren here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that you are true men, so will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. He puts them in a strait, and what that causes them to do is to remember about what they did with their own brother, and they're thinking, oh, we're going to lose another brother. And they talk about this amongst themselves, saying, the Lord is getting back at us for what we did with Joseph. Wonder if they're still carrying around those two pieces of silver in their money bag. I don't know. But you know what? Wonder if when they take those two pieces of silver out, if they thought about their brother's life. They are remembering. And they know that God saw it and God will not forget it. And they are being brought to task for the sins that they have done. Chapter 43. It's time for them to go back. And so they have to take Benjamin. They talk Jacob into letting him go. Judah says he's a surety for Benjamin. And they come there and they're back. And it says in chapter 43, verse number 30 and 31, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother when he sees Benjamin on this second trip back. And he sought where to weep. I mean, he's about to let it go, and he finds a place to get away from him. He entered into his chamber and wept there. Is this a man that's holding a grudge? You know, Jesus bore our sins. He bore our sins on Calvary, and he doesn't hold a grudge. He did so willingly, out of love and compassion for we who could not do for ourselves. And he washed his face and went out, verse 31, and refrained himself and said, set on bread. He said, get it ready, fellas, we're going to eat. Verse 33, and they sat before him as brethren, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled at one another, marveled one at another. And he took and set messes unto them before him, that's food. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. Our Lord Jesus knows all about us, doesn't he? How is it that he could put us in birth order? How is it that he could arrange us this way? And look at this wonderful spread that has been prepared. But Benjamin, you got more than they can put up around you. Over there. They got other tables and it's just, it's around. He can't reach over it for everything that they brought. How can this, our Lord knows everything about us and yet is kind and compassionate to us. Oh man, you know, Joseph, this is welling up within him and he was not down on them, was he? They made merry. A good time, a good visit, attending to their every need and desire from the standpoint of this banquet. They load them up with food and put their money back in the sack. You remember how it was the first time he had told his servants, Joseph did put the money back in the sack. They marveled at that. And so they've got this second load and they're heading back. Verse chapter 44 and verse number 12. And he searched and began at the eldest, because there's this accusation about the cup of Joseph being stolen, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Oh, we cannot get away from what we did to our brother, and now the one that is most precious to us for the sake of Dad, the cup that we know we didn't steal, and we know Benjamin didn't steal, is in Benjamin's sack. What is going on with us? Praise be to the Lord. He's able to take and convict us of our sin. He's able to convict us of our own personal sin. He knows us in and out, and he can take and he can touch and reach us. Praise be to the Lord that he can save us. Jesus is the Savior of sinners, and he's the convictor of sinners. It says in chapter 44, verse number 32, for thy servant, this is Judah speaking, they're back before Joseph, they got the cup, there's the money, this thing is just unraveling. They're seeing themselves, they're getting hemmed in on, they're in a place that they don't want to be found in, there's this pressure indeed, they're thinking of their father back home, they're thinking of their families. Judah has made himself a surety, Benjamin has got to go back. Judah has made the commitment, I'm never going to rob my father of one of his children again. Now, this thing's been plaguing them now for 20-some years. And well, it should. Their sin is finding them out. And so Judah's speaking in verse number 32. He says unto Joseph, before he knows he's Joseph, for thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, listen. Isn't this interesting that this is Judah? Let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. I'll be your slave. I'll be your servant. You can own me. Just let Benjamin go. And let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father? You know, in all this, as I mentioned, Joseph never harmed them physically, but worked on them to bring conviction upon them for their sin against him. And I tell you what, they've been brought there. And as I said, as it's so, and you know it's so, praise be to the Lord that he can bring us there too, has brought us there. In chapter 45, and Joseph said unto his brethren, verse number 4, Joseph, Genesis chapter 45, and Joseph said unto his brethren, after he's revealed himself unto them, come near unto me, I pray you. And they came near, and their eyes are big as saucers, aren't they? And said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves. Look at this attitude that you sold me hither. Don't be angry with yourself. Don't be upset. Don't be grieved about it. For God did send me before you to preserve life. When the Lord gave him the interpretation of the dreams, when he stood before Pharaoh, and then the Lord brought him to power in this thing of the plenty and the famine, Joseph began to understand what the Lord was doing in his life. Jesus totally and completely understood the purpose of the Father in his life for our sakes. The Son was obedient to the Father and learned obedience, it tells us in Hebrews, but he did so in honoring the Father and doing so for our sakes. He said, don't be angry yourself. And I mean, he in the least is not taking any vengeance or revenge, not even verbally, is he? God did send me before you to preserve life, verse 6. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. So that's how we have that marker. 7 years of plenty, 2 years in the jail, 2 years into the famine, and that's 11 years, right? And we're going to find out about how old Joseph is. Or he was 30 years old. So we're kind of seeing what he's like 32 years old or 39 years old. And he said, "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years to go, in the which there shall be neither earing or harvest." He said, "The Lord's done this." He said, "Don't be angry with yourself." And he goes and he tells him in verse number 9, "Haste ye, go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord." That are found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. It's me. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Chapter 46. The Lord visits brother Jacob when he hears this news, and he's rejoicing in it. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, chapter 46, verse 2, and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." You're going to go there, Jacob, to see Joseph. You're going to go there that I might make of you a great nation, and you're going to go there to die. The Lord has delivered us from Egypt. He's delivered us from our sins. And what is it that Peter tells us about the Lord having made us a holy nation, a peculiar people, that are to be found praising and glorifying the Lord forever? Chapter 46, verse number 26. It tells here, "And the souls that came with Jacob unto Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, and all the souls that were 66, 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born in him in Egypt, were 2 souls, Ephraim and Manasseh. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 66. 66, Joseph 67, Ephraim and Manasseh 68 and 69. You know who else got counted in there? Joseph's wife. Joseph's wife, a Gentile. You know, the Lord has saved, brought salvation into we Gentiles too. We are counted in that family of God. We are brought near, and we're not brought to be a substandard family member, but a complete member of the household of God by Christ. The Gentile mother of Joseph's children was included in the count. Praise be to the Lord. In chapter 46, verse 31, "And Joseph said unto his brethren and to his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, what is your occupation? That ye shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. You know what? Salvation by Christ Jesus transcends all background and cultural differences. He becomes the forefront of all those things. We are children in Christ, no matter the color of our skin, no matter our background, no matter our history, no matter about cultural disagreements and differences and feuds and such. Christ Jesus transcends all of that. And we see here, Brother Joseph, what's he doing? He's interceding and mediating for his own family. There's this rough spot about how the herdmen are with the Egyptians. They're abominable to them. They offend. They're offensive. And I don't know their manner of life or the way they smell or however it is. And Joseph intercedes in this. And he makes to where they can come and live, as we'll see, in the best land of Egypt. Chapter 47, verse 11. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses. And Pharaoh, as Pharaoh had commanded, and Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. You know, our Lord Jesus provides for us, doesn't he? He provides for us. May we be about what he's given us to do. May we trust him and rest in him to provide for us, because he seeks our good indeed. In chapter 47, verse 29, and the time drew near that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me, and bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. Don't bury me here, son. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. Joseph said, I'll do that. You know what Joseph has found through all of this doing? Honoring his father always. He said, don't bury me here, son. He don't burn me here. Don't bury me here. Bury me in our burying place that we have in Canaan. And he said, swear unto me, and he swore unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. That's what Joseph has found, always honoring his father. Chapter 48, verse 20. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again in the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. It's coming time for Israel to die. And calls for Joseph and his sons. He's got something on his mind. Manasseh is the firstborn, and Ephraim is the youngest. But Jacob, he looks to give the blessing unto the younger. And he does that. Joseph is kind of upset about it till he understands that that's what needs to be done. And in this, you don't hear a tribe named Joseph. You hear two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Joseph, Brother Joseph, is given a double portion for his faithfulness, for what he has endured. And so our Lord Jesus Christ has been given the heathen for an inheritance. And rather than having his own wife and his own family in the time of the life that he lived here on this earth for 33 years, he's called many sons to glory.
Amen.
And we are his children, sons and daughters in this life, sons in eternity, because of his faithfulness. And then Brother Jacob is going to die, and he knows it. In chapter 49, listen to the blessing upon our brother. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. So it was with our Lord. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the God, the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. Isn't that something? I mean, there's a lot can be preached right there. From there is the shepherd, and our Lord is our shepherd. That's what Joseph did when he was brought to power. He shepherded over his own family. He shepherded over the land. Our Lord Jesus is our great rock. He is the rock upon which we are built. He is the rock upon which we are set. He's not the sinking sand, but he is that eternal solid rock. Even by God, verse 25, by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. All these blessings, they shall be upon the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Our Lord Jesus is separate from us. He's totally separate from us, but yet he identifies with us and came for our sakes. And he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Praise, honor, glory, and blessing all goes to him for his faithfulness. Praise be to God. Brother Jacob dies, and they take him and bury him up in Canaan as they promised. And in chapter 50, verses 12 through 14, and his sons did unto Jacob according as he had commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. Verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. He's in command. He's in control. Daddy's dead. And will certainly pay us back, requite us for all the evil that we did unto him. Listen, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph. Now they're lying, aren't they? They're lying again. Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God, thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Is this a man that's holding a grudge? Is this a man that wants vengeance? Is this a man that was only restrained by the life of his father, that he was holding back and biding time while his daddy's eyes and knowledge looked on at him? No, this is a man that is dedicated to the Lord, and he cares about what the Lord's looking at, and he understands and sees what the Lord has done to deliver his family. He loves his brethren. He has forgiven his brethren. He wants good for his brethren, and when they send this word, it causes him to weep. They don't believe him. They don't trust him. They cannot hear and receive that there is such forgiveness, such understanding about the Lord's working in all of this. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. They're getting desperate, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. We'll just serve you. Take us over as bondmen. And Jesus said unto them, fear not. Isn't that what Jesus tells us? Fear not. Fear not. For am I in the place of God? God will take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. But as for you, you thought evil against me, as I've told you before. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones and be comforted. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them because he loves them. In chapter 50, verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, his great-grandchildren. And the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. He had them near, he hugged them, he taught them, he was a witness to them. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. Don't bury me here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him and put him in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph, a faithful man in type of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read there in Hebrews 11, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, his double portion, and worshiped leaning upon his staff, and we saw about that. A double portion given to Joseph for his faithfulness, for his dedication to God, for his understanding, the Lord blessing him with understanding, that the Lord used him in that way that was grievous on his flesh, but profitable for the future. And he received it. He was comfortable with it when he came to understand. He had desired while he was going through the trial, but he knew that the Lord knew what he was doing. And then the Lord brought him to understanding. And the Lord blessed him with a double portion. Indeed, by faith Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. We're going to leave this place, we're going to leave this place as a nation, and gave commandment concerning his bones. It says there a little bit earlier in chapter 11, it says there, for he, which is speaking of Abraham, looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Joseph did too. Joseph did too. He looked to the Lord. The future is in the Lord's hand. The design, the plan is in the Lord's hand. And Joseph looked to and rested in that. And as you know, in chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, this witness of our brother Joseph, let us lay aside every weight that besets us. Let us lay aside the sin that so easily does beset us. Let us lay that down. Let us not doubt. Let us not complain and murmur and quarrel with our Lord, but let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Like Jesus did. Like Joseph did. Let us do so. Who for the joy looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. He knows the beginning from the end. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And may we with joy, may we go through what is set before us. And not despise the shame of it or the grief of that. But let us keep our eye on that double portion reward that the Lord has promised us. It's more than double, isn't it? It is. He is faithful. Jesus is faithful in every way. Let us be faithful to him.